This episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you by 287 of God's most beautiful children. Wink! Not just a song by the immortal Possum Posse. That is not just lyrics by the great and talented Jomo. No, those are the credo by which we live our lives. You're pretty damn ugly by most people's standards, but you're all right by mine. Welcome to the house that awkward jizz stories built, the Justin Robert Young Podcast. It is not a judgment-free zone. Judgment is handed out liberally. However, it is a place where all are welcome. I'm wearing a robe right now for anybody not watching this on YouTube or live on diamondclub.tv. Want to know why? Because I'm fucking feeling a little relaxed here this week. Feeling like I got a handle on some shit. You know, we're outside of South by Southwest. Last week, not going to lie to you folks, I was a little fucking faded. I was a little burnt out. It's a lot taxing the ego of even a man who is endowed with the gift of gab like your old pal Jerbs McJerbsiston. It's a Hungarian name, Jerbsiston. However, I come to you rested and relaxed, ready to do a hell of a show. And we're not just doing... me talking about some stuff. I'm going to talk about some stuff. But you want to know what? Every week I come on and I say that these fucking emails that you guys send me blow the fucking doors off. And so I go get new doors thinking they can't get blown off by further emails. And I'll be a motherfucker if they don't end up in the goddamn driveway like all the others. Because these emails that I keep fucking getting are just fire. Fire. That kush be loud. This is my new character. Guy yelling hip hop phrases in the whitest voice possible. That kush be loud. I'm also working on a limited Bray Wyatt impression that I will at some point do during the show in the run up to Jury Mania. Maybe I'll cut a promo for Jury Mania. Man, all right, so we're thinking about doing a few things with the show, and by we, it is literally just me and my multiple personalities. I've not talked to anybody about this. See, I got this problem right now where I'm playing, by and large, music that's popular, like which I'm not allowed to do, and I shouldn't do, and it's not a good idea. And also, it just kind of brings a different element. It was a different vibe to the show. When I started, I just kind of wanted to be like, eh, whatever I'm into. But now the show's kind of finding a little personality for itself. And I feel like I know what that personality is. So what I want to do is make up some custom music that I can play during all the shows. So I think I'm going to go to one of our talented DJ friends because I got an idea for music because... You know, I want to do it. I don't know. If you all have any ideas on what kind of music you would like to hear in the interstitials, then let me know. But I think I got a cool idea. Now, this is all to say that this show is going to be fun. I really enjoy it. And I feel like I need it. You know, because although I think I have more of a headspace with, you know, this kind of stuff, you know, I feel like there's, I'm ready to take some shots. I'm ready to fucking, not shots like shots, but like, you know, like basketball shots, shots on goal. I'm ready to just get into it. You want to know what? No fucking around. So this is my last week, hopefully, or one of the last few weeks where I'm just going to be playing popular music. All the music is going to come from Kendrick Lamar's new album, To Pimp a Butterfly. Somebody recommended it to me on Twitter. I loved his last album, Good Kid, Mad City. This is exceptional. And we'll be right back. To tease the show, you know, welcome motherfuckers to the learning tree. Watch your heads, because I'm fucking dropping apples of knowledge on your dome. Maybe all of them aren't apples. Maybe some are acorns. You want to know what? Maybe a pine thistle. Maybe that's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you how to follow politics. I'm going to tell you how to sleep with your friends. I'm going to tell you how to be president. And if those aren't the only three things you need to do in this world, then fucking I don't know who the hell you are, because this will give you the head start you need. Kendrick Lamar, then I come back. I'm going to tell you how to follow politics in the modern era. This is the Justin Robert Young Show. I got a bone up here. I don't want you monkey mouth motherfucker sitting in my throne again. I'm mad, but I ain't stressing. True friends, one question. Bitch, where you and I was walking? Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off him. Kunta, black man taking no losses. Oh yeah. Bitch, where you and I was walking? Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off him. When you got the yams. Well, that shit was on fleek. See, again, I'm bringing these fucking impressions here to you guys, and I hope that you appreciate them, because that's a really good impression of white guys yelling other things. How to follow politics. I get this email from Shiflock. I want to follow all the aspects of the 2016 presidential election, but I don't have a lot of free time. Please advise. Okay. To follow politics, you have to understand what you are following. In the Hearthstone sense, you got to follow the meta, right? It's not exactly what you're doing. You have to really follow what the campaigns are doing. It actually is a lot like professional wrestling. There is the onstage product, and then there is the backstage machinations of how you get the onstage product. So in politics, what you want to understand is who's winning, who's losing, and why they're doing it. Here's the first lesson in following politics. Don't get into fucking rooting for people. Okay? So, like, understand what that means. You can care about politics. You can think one person is better than the other. But if you get too focused on wanting one person to win, then you are not, you're gonna have a bad time. Because you're going to get caught up in the onstage product. Everything that a politician said is meant to get a certain group of people to hit their name in a booth on a predetermined day. All right? Let's understand that's what the functional element of politics really is, especially presidential politics. So what you need to do is not divest yourself a little bit from your own voting interests. Because let's be fucking honest here. Who really takes months to figure out who you're voting for, right? Like, who is undecided until election day? This is like a thing that happens every 4 years where we're like, what the fuck, man? Who gives a shit? Like, what kind of fucking attention whore are you that you can't decide over months of doing nothing but fucking hoovering up the media saturation that is an American presidential election, and you can't have a fucking opinion? Really? That's a thing? I don't think so. So make your decision up. I'm not saying don't have a political opinion. I'm saying divest it from you following the product. So, what are you looking for? What is love? Baby, Don't Hurt Me. You are watching right now Maneuverings. This is basically everybody kind of like elbowing in to see who is going to have a good head start once everybody eventually kind of throws their hat into the ring. So Ted Cruz this weekend kind of made it official he's going to run. What does that mean? Well, it means that Ted Cruz is behind other people in his division, in the Republican division. He's got to start to make a name for himself. He's got to start to get a little bit of momentum. So what he's doing is he's sacrificing time that he could be otherwise as a private citizen, be out soliciting money from a bunch of randos. Once you are a declared presidential candidate, you now fall under FEC regulations, Federal Election Commission regulations. That means you have to, if you are a sitting government officer like Ted Cruz is, you have to make sure that you are delineating your campaign activities from your senatorial activities. You can't mix certain things. You have to make sure that certain people are acting certain ways. It's just a lot to keep an eye on and hampers your ability. Like Ted Cruz right now, before he announces, can run up on all of his Texas homies and be like, yo, get your fucking check hand right and ready because old Teddy needs a new pair of shoes. Ba-bow. I wish he would say that. That would be great. I wish Ted Cruz would end every sentence with ba-bow. Ted ba-bow Cruz. Teddy's in the house, he said, throwing both arms up in the air. Where does that mean that he is? It means he doesn't think he's in first place. Because if he thought he was in first place, there is no need to be the first person out there. That's what somebody who needs to angle their way up does. If you think you are in first place, you act like Hillary Clinton. What is Hillary Clinton doing? Hillary Clinton is putting her face out there to gain some, you know, just a little bit of momentum, gain a little bit of headlines, gain a little bit of traction, remind the nation that she is definitely running for president, but she does not want to announce herself as a candidate until she absolutely has to. It benefits her nothing to tell everybody and the Federal Election Commission that she wants to do it. So that's the kind of stuff that you want to look for. You want to look for who's getting hired. You want to look for things like media buys. You want to look for stuff like how they're recrafting their message based on other things that are happening. Because the most fascinating people in elections are the people that are behind the scenes figuring out how to move the needle and how to move their little chess pieces down so you can have more delegates than everybody else and ultimately win the presidency. First goal, get out of your division. Second goal, the delegates. The electoral college is how you become the leader of the free world. So, how do you follow this kind of stuff? Because in general, all the publicity is going to be from people who are following the onstage product. This guy went out here, said some shit. I mean, it's the same stump speech. And then really, you just get caught up in who fucked up. That's really the only thing that like the mainstream media does cover accurately that really affects the game. Is if you're fucking up, then all of a sudden, you got something to make up for, and now you got to rejigger where you're going. And also, remember that fuck-ups are, by and large, fuck-ups that stick are revelations of already existing gaps in their credibility, their ability to be president. Now, what I'm going to say next, I've said before, and I know it's not particularly popular with a certain demographic that I do love, that listens to this show and listens to me. So I know I'm going to get flack for it. But you got to read the Drudge Report. There is no better place that follows this kind of stuff and has an angle on the behind the scenes element like Matt Drudge. Everybody else follows it. Everything else that you read, for which I read in the following order, New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Those are major media outlets. And then, of course, whatever else kind of just pops up in the process of, you know, magazines and stuff like that. Oh, Politico. I guess I always just wind up reading places like Politico through those other sites, like just as they go on. Also, somebody turned me on to Monkey Cage, which is a Washington Post blog, which is a lot way more on the kind of on the other side of stuff. So find the sources that you like, that you trust. But in general, what you will find yourself gravitating toward are things that are focused more on the media buy, where are they crafting the message, did they debut a no stump speech, like that kind of stuff. But really, you're just looking at, you know, a coaches poll. Man, that would be a great site. I would love a media members coaches poll, like just so you could see who's winning and who's losing based on everybody else. An anonymous poll that basically just said, all right, you know, who do you think is right now winning? That would be great. I would love to do that. That is how you follow politics. So step number one, divest your personal opinion on who you want to win and who you think you can win, who you think should be the best person to win the country. Because if you're looking at it through it that like that, if you were looking at it through that lens, you will find bad data and you will pay attention to it more because you're invested in a certain result, not the game of chess. It'd be like if you were really into the right bishop playing chess. And you were just like, oh, fucking right bishop's the best. You'd fuck up playing the game because sometimes you got to just sacrifice that right bishop. Second, find sources that talk about the metagame and not the onstage product. And three, read the Drudge Report in Politico and you're probably going to be fine. I'm going to tell you how to sleep with your friends. A topic. We will find out coming up next.
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same.
I got the following email from my friend and yours, the War Cow. A few months back, I had a bad breakup. I had some meaningless sex a couple times since, but I really haven't been seeking a relationship. I've been working on making myself like the person in the mirror, more like trying. My own self-worth issues were a large part of my... Man, it really takes away from the deep voiced effect when I can't fuck up. I can't read the fucking... Yep, take two. I've been working on making myself like the person in the mirror more than trying to start a new relationship, knowing that my own self-worth issues were a large part of my previous relationship falling apart. Suddenly, however, I have reconnected with a friend whom I have lost contact a while back. Besides my own self-worth issues and my ex, I also differed on a few key details, and we're going to skip this part about his ex. The friend and I seem like we are in a much more similar in most of the aspects that my ex and I differed, to the point where I find myself thinking she's basically the exact opposite of my ex, which brings me to my conundrum. I'm feeling very attracted to this friend and want to keep bringing up the ideas of taking things further, but chicken out because my own fear of rejection and the possibility of it ruining the good thing we do have. I also can't help but think that maybe I'm trying to overcompensate to avoid the same situation I had with my ex. I also can't help but think that I'm overthinking things. I am reasonably sure that I am not rushing into things, because it's been almost 6 months since the breakup with my ex. To compound this, she just got out of an abusive relationship less than a month ago, and I don't want to risk rushing her. The guy's a real fuckbag, and we've all talked about it on occasion. Am I overthinking this? Should I be playing it safe, or should I grow a pair and tell her how I feel? Would her finding out by listening to a podcast where this is read be a bad thing? I've introduced her to both NA and Jury, and she enjoys both. Actually, I spent until 2 in the morning yelling at you and Brian's bad Hearthstone playing, but she has yet to become a regular listener. Sometimes a dude, always a lady, or sometimes a dude, sometimes a lady, always a diamond. All right. So let's get into this. Friends, sometimes you want to fuck them. Eh, how do you do it? Well, first things first, let's go ahead and take Warkow's example. What he has is a situation that he needs to untangle, because there's a couple very important parts, and I'll go from the least important to the most important in terms of his question, which is, should I tell my friend I want to fuck him? And of course, by fuck, I mean have a loving relationship and, I don't know, build a log cabin where both of you live and your families live forever. So you just came out of a relationship and you're still kind of fucked up about it. How fucked up? Well, you're so fucked up that you're writing a fucking podcast about dealing with the fallout for it. So that's a little fucked up. It's been 6 months, but you need to separate that from everything else. This is what we might like to file under why for your motherfucking problems. Don't bring that on other people or factor it into your relationship with somebody else, or else everything that goes forward with that relationship will be affected by the bullshit that you brought into it initially. That's number one. Number two, you are now in a friendly relationship with this person. You have known them. You just reconnected with them on a friendly level. That's a special thing. You have to protect that element of stuff before and after anything else. Now, you might think, well, if I am so focused on keeping the friendly element of our relationship together, then am I introducing the romantic element? Am I friend-zoning myself? You're not. And I'll get the why you're not in a second. Here's the third most important part of how you're going to deal with this situation. You wrote this whole email, Warkow, and we're buddies. I've read your emails a couple times on this show. But you wrote this email, and you wrote everything in what I am going to assume is in the importance in your own head, which was, I was in a former relationship, I have this friend, and she just got out of an abusive relationship with a guy who's a real fuckbag. If you were writing to me or assessing this on the perspective of your friendship with this woman, then what you would have said first and foremost is, my friend got out of a shitty relationship, because that's what friends are for. You need to figure out how you can be the best friend you can be to her. So that means no matter what, you are taking care of her situation as she rebounds out of a shitty relationship. As I'm sure you would have appreciated if you had reconnected with her as you were getting out of your shitty relationship. And fuck, if you're writing into me talking about your shitty old relationship, I guarantee you've talked to her. And if you've talked to her and you didn't say that she's bad at giving you advice and perspective, then I'm going to assume she was good at it. And if that's the case, then you need to give her that back in kind. CKiller37227 says something very profound. Never do friend shit with hopes of sex. Absolutely. Now, this is good advice. Not because it is very much just good friend shit to do. You don't go around, you know, hey, buddy, you want a beer? I'm heading to the fridge. Okay. You don't walk back with that beer thinking, all right, I am 2% closer to putting my dick in that person. No, you're just doing shit that's friendly. If you thought about it the other way, that would be fucking weird. So, the other element of that is that it's not the way to fuck your friends. The way to fuck your friends is to be a good friend. Sometimes friends fuck, and sometimes it's not a bad thing. You want to know what is a bad thing? When you fucking start mixing shit up, or you are being a bad friend by letting your dick or vagina speak for you instead of your friendship. You need to have this friendship tight like a drum, right? Solid for you to then introduce any kind of sexual element. Now, the other question here is whether or not you are looking for just some, you know, what I might call the fucking duck. Just, you know, sometimes the fuck pops up and then you duck it out. It's like peaking audio levels, except with penises and vaginas. Or maybe two penises. Or two vaginas. Hey, listen, man, I'm not here to live your life. If you are in for a friends with benefits situation, then it's very simple. You have to have a solid, friendly relationship. You introduce that in and you make everybody clear that this is what it is. If you are a good enough friend with them, then you will be able to have a more open and honest chain of conversation than you would otherwise. If you are looking to have it be something more, then you kind of have to resubmit your fucking paperwork. Now, being a good and trusted friend is a great thing to have on that paperwork. But what a lot of people get fucked up with is they think they're being a good friend, but I don't think they are. War cow, I'm going to go ahead and drop some truth bombs on you. I don't think you were being the best friend to this person that you possibly could be. Now, I don't think it's anything really malicious, but you need to be thinking about where they're coming from. And from this, from taking care of your friend, all things are more possible. You are more likely to have a great friendship with them. You are more likely to have sex with that person on a casual level where everybody's cool with it. And you are more likely to turn into a romantic item. But it all starts with one thing: being the best friend you can be, no matter what. Friendship is magic. Even when it comes to getting your dick sucked. I'm going to tell you how to be president. I'm sick of you, you know, thinking that you can't, okay? I'm going to tell you how to do it. In fact, I'm going to tell one person very specifically how to do it. Coming up next. I've been blown away by the emails that I've gotten, and sometimes they really even outdo what my expectations are for them. I said to Ashley when I was reading this email, you know, I think this email is too fucking smart for the show. And we don't do a dumb show here, folks. We do ourselves one that needs a few synapses firing. This is a really fucking smart email. Shift Lock, or no, sorry, No Frack writes, Jerry, you asked on the podcast who the next president will be. I think the smart money is on someone I haven't heard you mention, Mike Pence. Pros: he's done everything, talk radio, run a think tank, been a congressman, been a governor. He's from the Rust Belt, but a state that makes the Rust Belt seem not depressing. He was a conservative congressman, but has governed as a reasonable moderate. He's to the right of Christie and Bush, but doesn't come off as a nut. He's disciplined. His style is straightforward confidence, which is a contrast to Obama, Clinton, Christie, and Romney. He has connections with the Koch Network for money.
And I love the fact that it's the, you know, the Coke network. He's got that Coke money. Yeah. That's what fucking, I'll tell you what. There are not a lot of things that where you can say that GOP presidential hopefuls and rappers are similar, but it's pretty much two things. They're usually pro-gun rights, and they're bragging about that Coke money. And he doesn't have a stupid-looking face. Cons. His base is annoyed with him for passing the Medicaid expansion. He's a dull white dude, and he's getting off to a slow start. The dullness is a non-trivial factor, but you're telling me that a guy whose message is, quote, look at all these clowns you don't like, how about voting for someone who isn't an embarrassment can't get elected? I think if he doesn't pull a Perry, he snowballs and becomes inevitable. Just throwing that into the ring. That is from NoFrack. Now, I don't know shit about Mike Pence, but I believe in this email. I believe this email is smart. I believe he's got a good handle on it. So you want to know what? We're going to go on over. We're going to fucking give a little uncredited, you know, campaign tutelage to Mike Pence. Let's see what we can do here for you, Mike. All right, Mike is an American politician and member of the Republican Party who served as the 50th governor of Indiana since 2013. What's Indiana's state thing? What are they the state? The state of, like, more like in Diana. Is that their state motto? I would like that. Man, are there people named Diana in school that got that? If you were named Diana in school or you ever said, I just thought of that right now, and I think it's very funny. Has anybody ever said, oh, more like in Diana? Diana's a hoe. The Hoosiers. Oh, the Hoosier state. Yeah, whatever. Okay, well, that's fucking stupid. Pence was born in Columbus, Indiana, one of six children of Nancy Jane and Edward J. Pence, who ran a string of gas stations. All right. So that's all right. I mean, like, what can we work with on that? You're like, oh, I got that gas. I'm Mike Pence. I don't know if that's good. You know, flammable Pence style. Okay, let's keep moving on. After graduating Hanover, Pence served as an admissions counselor. Oh, geez. Oh, fuck, man. Like, listen, this dude, it's not just that he looks like a dull white guy. Like, he's got, like, his dull white guy game is tight. His dull white guy game is on fleek. An admissions counselor? You can't get more duller or white than admissions counselor. From 1981 to 1983. He worked as an attorney in private practice. Fuck! Even more dull and white. He continued practicing law following a second run to Congress and then became a talk radio host. The Mike Pence Show aired weekdays on 18 stations throughout the state. Additionally, Pence hosted a weekend talk show out of Indianapolis, Naptown, from 95 to 99. You know, so he ran for governor and he won. Man, I'll tell you, I was seriously, this whole bit was going to be me trying to fucking dress up Mike Pence. But I don't know if I can do it. Fuck, man. All right, Mike, listen, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to give you a free social media, a social media makeover. We're going to memeify Mike Pence. Oh, shit. Well, number one, so I just Google image search Mike Pence, and there are four things. Mike Pence family, Mike Pence wife, Mike Pence bodybuilding. What? There's a bodybuilder named Mike Pence, and this guy is fucking ridiculous. There's a lot of him fucking flexing. There's him wearing only a tire. That's crazy. He's got a tribal tattoo. All right, so first off, here's what you got to do. Mike Pence, I'm not the bodybuilder, or am I? That's an interesting way to take it, because now we got a mystery on our hands here, Mike. I don't know, are you lying? Are you really the bodybuilder? That seems kind of crazy, because you don't seem like you're ripped like that. Gets people thinking, right? Now, you might say, don't want to start things off with an intentious ambiguity.
Maybe the rest of my record could be called into question because I'm fronting on whether or not I'm the bodybuilder. Yeah, all right, liability. You got me there. But here's what you do say. Someone's like, you're not the bodybuilder. And then you go, you ever seen this in the same place at the same time? And then you put down your glasses because you have them on the top of your head. By the way, you're going to have to wear glasses at all times just so you can fucking burn these fucking assholes whenever they throw that shade in your face. You just go, oh, shit. Boom, deal with it right in their face. All these pictures make you look like you're drunk. Like, literally half these pictures I'm seeing, you look like you're fucking wasted. So here's what you do. Just get wasted all the time. You're now the Dean Martin of presidential aspirants. Okay, Mike? Mike, I'm talking to you, okay? Please tell me he didn't have, like, an alcoholism thing. Anyway, fuck it. So, you know, also, here's a little fun Photoshop thing. I want everybody to Photoshop just things of beer in Mike Pence's hand. Because I think it's really funny. He's got a couple of these that would look really, really good because he's got his hands out like a politician always has their hands out when they're talking. It'd be funny if you just put bottles of beer in them. You know, like 40, you know, Steel Reserve, shit like that. All right, so here we go. Mike Pence. Maybe I'm the bodybuilder. Am I drunk? I don't know. What are you, the cops? There we go. I think that's it. Mike Pence. What are you, the cops? Gets you in with the young demographic, huh? Little anti-authoritarian? Maybe shake things up a little bit? I'm the governor of Ohio. What are you, the cops? Boom. Mike Pence, what are you, the cops? I think we got ourselves something going on here, Mike. I'm feeling your vibe right now. You fucking possibly doing leg squats right now because you're a bodybuilder. Fucking meanwhile, you're drinking fucking an Edward 40 hand session. Somebody rolls up on you. You fucking say, I ain't got to tell you what the fuck I'm doing. The Pence does what he wants. Huh? Man, you might as well call me an English penny because I am money. Pence in the house. What you gonna do? Your emails and yet more neon sign stories after one final Kendrick Lamar song.
Mandela, hope my flow stay propelling. Let these words be your earth and moon. You consume every message. As I lead this army, make room for mistakes and depression. And with that being said, my nigga, let me ask this question. When shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? When shit hit the fan. One, two, one, two, one, two. When shit hit the fan, is you still a fan?
If you would like to write this show, you please do it by emailing justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. That is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. J-U-R-Y. First one comes in from Flying Pop-Tart Cat. I can't remember if Flying Pop-Tart Cat has written in before, but I'm really pumped to see the Flying Pop-Tart Cat write in. The cat writes, 105.9. The cat. At the time I was 13 years old, I was living at a boarding school in Colorado. My mom had an art teaching job, and we lived in a house across the road on campus. There was about 15 houses in total for the staff, and naturally, the kids all got in a group and became good friends. At the northern end of the campus, there were greenhouses that the school owned and rented to biologists. In front of the greenhouses, there was an old trailer that was used as an office when the school used to use it as a place of business while they were still operating it. Us kids used to break into this trailer and we used it as our hangout. On the desk, there was a stamp that said COD, which I later found out meant cash on delivery. We liked the sound of it and formed a secret society, which we called COD, like the fish. One day, all the kids were gone except for me and another kid. Let's call him Andy. We were just rustling through some old documents in the filing cabinets and we started talking. Andy began to say, I wonder how gay people have sex. He looked at me. I was like, I don't know, just like humping and stuff. Finishing my sentence.
Yeah. I walked over to the window to check out if anyone was coming because we would get into a lot of trouble if we were caught in the trailer. As I was looking out the small window on the door, Andy said in a loud tone, "Look over here!" And what did I see? The biggest dick I have ever seen right in front of me. I didn't know I was gay at the time, and I nervously said, "I better go," and bolted. Sincerely, Flying Pop-Tart Cat. Wah-nah, wah, wah-nah, wah. The dick that got away. Brian writes, "Hey, jury, I have a story for you since catching up with your Single Mic podcast and hearing the Neon Signs episode 1. I was in sixth grade and had a girl that liked to practice kissing and making out with me for the past year, so whenever we were alone and hanging out. On a weekend, she was able to stay the night, and nothing really happened. But when the morning came, my parents were gone at work, and she came into my room, shut the door, and locked it. She proceeded to climb into my bed, wake me up to kisses, and said good morning in a flirting fashion. Of course, I kiss her back and say good morning, kissing her more and turning it into a makeout session, getting heavier by the minute. Pretty soon, most of my pajamas are off. Her pajama top is off, leaving only her panties. She proceeded to reach into my underwear and grips me while I'm fully aroused and starts stroking me. And we're rapidly getting out of Neon Signs territory, BT Dubs." That was an editor's note. "I let that happen for a moment while running my hands along her body, teasing her and making her feel good while still making out. But once I try to put my hand down her panties, she stops my hand and keeps making out. I try a couple more times and I got the same thing every time. After I stopped trying, our makeout session continued like normal, except we were almost naked and fucking." And by the way, that's the end of the paragraph. I don't quite know if this man understands what the point of the Neon Signs story is. This just sounds like a time you hooked up with somebody. And yet, he continues. "Last time I saw her, last year in August, she got me alone and starts kissing me some, which lasts a couple minutes. Then we start talking about when we're younger and such, but nothing more came out of that." Okay, again, this sounds like somebody that you are likely to have sex with. There's one more sentence here, folks, that I'm going to read it with. I'm going to read it to you right now. "The big kicker is that she's a distant cousin." And that's the end of the fucking email. I didn't cut anything out. I didn't edit anything. This is literally what I got. I fucking was about to, you know, this girl was jerking me off. I was making out with her. I tried to finger bang her. I couldn't finger bang her. We talked about it in a fun, flirty way. And then, you know, but also the whole time she was a cousin. What the fuck is happening, Brian? Seriously. We need to have a conversation about, A, whether or not you realize that a Neon Sign story is somebody giving you a gigantic signal and you not realizing about the signal. Seems like you were getting plenty of signals. In fact, your problem is that you are selectively ignoring signals, right? Generally, the Neon Sign thing is like, whoop, totally missed it. You understand everything that's going on and are selectively kind of toning down the distant cousin. Like, you are turning that down. Brian, listen, man, I love you here, right? But that's fucking weird, and we all know it. Andrew writes, "Justin, I'm sure you're tired of reading missed signal stories, but I need to tell you mine. Also, I want to tell you that I love your podcast." Well, stop sucking up. "So back in 2009, when I was just 22 years old, I had and still do have a really good friend whom I have a small crush on. Problem was that I had a girlfriend and I never acted on the urges I sometimes felt toward her. I lived with my brother and one other roommate back then, and she would often come around just to hang out. Well, that led to her asking about my brother in a romantic sense. With me being the big bro and her just being a friend, I set them up, which ultimately destroyed me. Shortly after they started hooking up, my girlfriend of 3 years broke up with me over some bullshit that had nothing to do with me in the first place. My brother and my lady friend were never really a couple. Call it fuck buddies. So after the girlfriend dumped me, she took me out to drink away my problems because we were really close friends and that's what friends do. However, when we got back to my place, she decided she was going to stay over and that she needed a shower. I was a little drunk, so I told her that was fine, and I would just get ready to go to bed. She got out of the shower. She came into my room, stood right in front of me while I was sitting on the bed, nothing but a towel. She tells me, 'Your brother is working out of town tonight, and I can't drive home. Can I sleep here?' I said, 'Yeah.' And like a giant idiot, I told her that I would crash in his room. She could have mine because my bed was better. She seemed to go along with it, hugged me a little too tight for a little too long, whispered goodnight in my ear, and we never spoke of that night again. Her and I remained close friends. Sometimes we went out and did things that friends would do, except for hand-holding and 4 a.m. phone calls. This is how it was until a year and a half later when she met the man that she would eventually marry. I was as fake happy for her as I can be. Friends of ours have told me how much he reminds them of me, and I've always resented him for some reason. It's just like I couldn't pull the trigger with her because I didn't want to ruin our friendship. Now I'm engaged, and I'll be married later this year. She's been happily married for a couple of years. I just wonder if this is something I'll always regret. One big fucking idiot, Andy. Andy! This is a really weird episode of The Jury Show, especially when it comes to the emails, because Andy, you got a lot to unpack here, buddy. Fucking, this ain't baggage. This is the fucking hull of the Titanic. Holy shit. So, I mean, you're hung up on this chick. Number one, I hope, please just don't tell me that your wife has turned on to this show and she's like, oh, fuck. Andy, who am I marrying? So, whether or not the girl was into you is inconsequential. It didn't happen. Now, why didn't it happen? Well, I mean, you can point to a couple of things. You know, you could blame it on yourself and you can make it a totally singular issue. Or you can say that, you know, it just didn't work out. Or maybe she really wasn't all that into you. Now, if you never kind of had that situation where the topic was broached and she said no, that you're not telling me, then who knows? Either way, that ship is motherfucking sailed. And at this point, to go ahead and get with her would be a real climactic situation. You need to focus on whether or not you're happy with the woman you're marrying. What you'll really fucking regret is doing that. Because if you think that fucking letting someone go was painful when it would have been the right match to be with them, it's going to be 10 times more painful to hold on to somebody that you're not really all that fucking into. And don't make this about whether or not, oh, but she would have been man. If ifs and nuts were candy and butts, then this saying would fucking make a goddamn lick of sense. Here's what you need to know. Be happy. If you're happy with your lady that you're marrying, then that's it. Everything else is going to work itself out. If you're not, then you got to fucking hit the reset button right now. You shouldn't be writing. I mean, like, I'll tell you what. If I was writing in, dear Justin Robert Young, my name is Justin Robert Young. I got some fucking, like, some chick that I'm still pining for while my fucking fiance is sitting right next to me playing Hearthstone and can hear me because this is an open studio and she can listen to everything. I don't think she would appreciate that much. Would you appreciate that much? She wasn't paying attention. Fuck, all right, I'll continue my email. Justin, I really have this thing for this other girl. Now she's paying attention, and she is looking at me like I'm a big fucking idiot like Andy. Phil writes, I wish I had a neon sign story. Emo. Oh, man, Phil. I believe that one day you'll be so incompetent that you'll fucking not understand when sex is obviously available. Brian writes, I know this is a little late, but I thought I'd share this story from many years ago. My cousin had been prank calling me for about a week before this incident. I was working for my dad at the time and answered my phone from a number I did not know to the sound of a female voice. I assumed that my cousin had put someone up to it and did not wish to look like a fool. I don't quite recall what was said, but I was rude and I quickly hung up. Fast forward a few days later, I go out to eat with my best friend and he asked me, hey, did you get a call from a girl? I felt my heart drop. He went on to explain that he knew this girl in his college class that had broken up with, and she just wanted, quote, a good guy to hold her through the night. So he showed her a picture of me and gave her my number. I never talked to her, heard from her again. I mean, that's kind of weird. I don't know. I mean, she's probably crazy. I mean, someone to hold her through the night. Strangers? Yeah. I don't know. She probably should have just hit the snuggery. Another Jason writes, hey, Jerry, here's a missed signal story for you. I've never been great at getting signals from 28, and I still probably miss a lot of signals from girls. Anyways, listening to some of your missed signal stories made me think about one time in high school. I just realized that I probably missed a big signal. We're fucking causing revelations on this show, folks. Huh? These people, they're having flashbacks listening to our misadventures. That's fucking awesome. Whenever I had a free period in high school, I say, returning to the letter, I would typically do homework, study, or read a book. Yes, I know, I was a nerd. I still am a nerd. One day during a free period, a friend comes up to me and sits down, and we chat about nothing important. Out of the blue, she asked me if I've ever had a blowjob. I was a bit taken aback by the question, but I said, no, I have not. She then asked if I shave my pubic hair. The conversation has now become really awkward, so I just don't say anything, let her continue. She asked, what if I wanted to go down on you right now? She put emphasis on right now. She continues, if you don't shave your hair and I gave you a blowjob, I'd get a mouthful of hair. That'd be gross. So, do you shave? I was probably turning beet red because the conversation was uncomfortable. The only thing I could say was, I have a big test the next period and I should probably study, so I am going to go to the library and study now. Then I got up and left. I now realize that a redhead with nice tits probably wanted to take me into the bathroom and blow me right there. Well, now, Encyclopedia Brown, what was your first evidence? Was it when, hey, I want to suck your dick right now? You don't got to be Veronica Mars to put the fucking one and two together. Switching off neon sign stories, we go to Jason. The no hog line isn't a reference to Ice Cube being Muslim. This is our line-by-line breakdown of today was a good day. Jason continues, there are many African-Americans who avoid pork with no religious affiliation. For Ice Cube, it's probably related to the way that the Nation of Islam, which is a separate organization from the Church of Islam, ideals interlace themselves around hip-hop culture since both have roots in New York. As a side note, in my neon sign stories, the girl M who dropped the N-bomb was black, as you assumed. Deep cut for those who've been listening for the last few weeks. Thank you for an awesome show. Well, thank you very much, Jason. And thank you to everybody who wrote me that if you backdoor Little Joe, it is a craps term. So it's a dice term that he rolled a certain number backwards. To backdoor is to throw the dice backwards. And Little Joe is, I think, I don't know, one of those numbers. You can go ahead and find this podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, or some other shit. You can email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. That, again, is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Just go ahead and make sure that you put J-U-R-Y in the subject line. Twitter and Instagram are Justin R. Young as well as Snapchat. Man, Snapchat me, because every once in a while I'll just give you a thumbs up and be like, that's great. Hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. But ladies and gentlemen, if you find yourself one day saying, I don't know where to get all of my presidential news, my name is Mike Pence, and I really want to be president. And I don't think it's going to happen. But my friend is really nice. And I think that we would make good fuck buddies. And you are at the bottom of the barrel. When all of a sudden you think to yourself, I'm going to end it all. I tell you, sir and or madam, do not. Because you've got an army behind you. An army of Diamond Club. An army of Chat Realm. You have one clarion voice in your head, and it is my baritone wheeze, whispering, nay, yelling, please, don't. We'll be right back.
know, there's a lot of people out there, man. You're trying to think to yourself, where am I gonna watch WrestleMania next week, man? You might think that you can just go on the WWE Network for $9.99, man, and you can watch live from Santa Clara, California, a suburb of San Francisco Bay Area, man. But I submit to you that there is only one place that if you are listening to this show, that you should be listening and watching WrestleMania. Brothers and sisters, you need to come to DiamondClub.tv because Jerrymania is upon us. We have all the people that you're going to watch WrestleMania with, man. We got Justin Robert Young. We have Petey Rave, Rick Foster, and the Mitzula, Mike Ruler, the old schooler. We might even have a cameo by Willie Dills, man. And if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area and you believe that you want to come to some of the indie events, well, man, all you got to do is hit me up on Twitter at Justin R. Young. That is Jerrymania, all during WrestleMania complimentary live stream. And Undertaker, I don't know, hopefully we'll have a good match too. This is my Bray Wyatt impression, man. Follow the Buzzards.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.